I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the church, not necessarily just Zohar Baptist Church, but the church, especially around our nation. Concerned about church people, people who proclaim to be born again. We often look at our nation, especially in our days today, and we scowl at what's occurring. We wonder what happened and why. And sadly, if we look back over the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we have the church to blame for where we are today. Why? Because professing born-again Christians, churchgoers, have dropped the ball. They've dropped the ball. Much like a parent who says, I'm going to send my child to Christian school and let the school teach them about Jesus. Or parents today who say, well, I'm going to send my kids to public school, which is fine, but I'm going to let the public school teach them what and how they should believe. If they end up believing like me, great. If they don't, fine. And that has been an attitude, get this, since the late 50s and early 60s, that started pervading or invading our thoughts. Back in 1993, the Watchman Expositor had the following article. It reads like this: even those who claim to be born again are not necessarily firmly grounded in the truths of the Bible. In his book, which provides a statistical analysis of religious beliefs in America, again, 1993, George Barna cites several fascinating statistics which are based on a national survey. In chapter 4, he states, "The devil, or Satan, is not a living being but is a symbol of evil." Then, asking that segment of his survey respondents who have identified themselves as being born again, he states, "Do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with that statement?" Again, the statement, "The devil or Satan is not a living being, but is a symbol of evil." The born-again population reply with 30% agreeing strongly, 32% agreeing strongly that he's not a person, but that he's just a symbol of evil. 11% agree somewhat, 5% didn't know. Thus, in 1993, the total number responding was 48% either agreed that Satan is only symbolic or didn't know. Should it then be surprising that a few pages later, Barna would receive some very startling responses? His next question: Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and others all pray to the same God, even though they use different names for that God. Again, the respondents were asked to agree strongly, agree somewhat, or disagree strongly. Of that population surveyed who identified themselves as born again, 30% agreed strongly that Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and others all pray to the same God. 18% agreed somewhat, and 12% did not know. That is a total of 60% of these born-again Christians that agreed that they all prayed to the same God. This is back in 1993. Folks, the state we are in today, in our churches, is much worse. Clyde Snodgrass. I love that name. That's his name, Snodgrass. Poor guy as a kid, I can just imagine. Wow. Klein Snodgrass wrote, Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts. They saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of the truth, the devil replied. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? Asked the cohort. No, said the devil. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. When I was a sophomore at Bible college, I had a professor that addressed us at the beginning of our sophomore year, and he said, listen, do not quit Bible college after your sophomore year, because after your sophomore year, you will have enough knowledge of the truth to be dangerous. I found that out to be very true. I continued on through my junior and senior year. My junior and senior year, though, I was given more, presented with more truth, but I gained much learning of how to understand it and help discern it. And I would have been pretty dangerous, I think, coming out as just a sophomore. The point is that we as Christians cannot allow ourselves to be lazy in the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what His Word says. We shouldn't take any preacher, teacher, or Christian writer, shouldn't take their word for the truth, but also should check on it, research according to Scripture, making sure, and know for ourselves the truth. That's the title of the sermon today, is Know for Ourselves. Let's pray. Holy God, I come before you, I truly with a concern. As you know, this has been heavy on my heart throughout the week as you have brought this to my attention and brought this truly to what I needed to talk about today and preach. And so, Lord, I pray that your word will be heard, not me, but that your word will be heard, that as you tell us in Hebrews, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And may it pierce our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was working on a sermon this week that wasn't this sermon. And I was telling Wayne earlier today, I said, you know, it wasn't, I just didn't have a direction. I just didn't know, and I kept praying, Lord, show me. But I headed in a direction, a good direction. It was fine. And then as I was praying and I was studying God's Word, God said, no, this is what I want you to have today. So I'm going to ask that you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1. I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, starting verse John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It says, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he's coming, and he is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Before I start an explanation of some of these passages, or some of these verses here, I want us to understand that I acknowledge with all of you that God, well, Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, is the ultimate judge. But guess what? For us to test the spirits, we're commanded to do this. We're commanded to do this, and that's not judgment. God has given us the litmus tests, and that's what we're going to talk about today, of what it is to test the spirits. And it's okay for us to do this. It's okay for us to call a spade, folks. It's okay. It's not gossip. It's not slander. It is called truth. I won't in my sermon today be naming anybody. But I want you all to be thinking. Think of people you love to listen to. Preachers or teachers of the word. Writers you love to read. Do you really know what they're teaching? What they're preaching? Hey, guess what? I throw myself into this too. Don't take my word for it. I give tons of scriptures throughout my messages. I hope you write them down. We're on the website, we're going to start putting the scripture references with each of the audio sermons. So if you want to listen to it on the website, you can also grab, look up those scriptures, look them in context. Is Pastor Kurt being right? Hey, if I'm not, I want you to come talk to me. All right, I'm not perfect. So I start with this before we head into all of this. We need to understand that John understands the fact that we do not fight a battle of the flesh and blood. Folks, John is not saying get your fists up ready to go. Physically, he is saying prepare yourself in armament and skill and ability spiritually. Folks, that comes, I'm just going to say, this is a side note, I don't even have this in my notes, I just want to say, that comes from personal Bible study. You can start with our daily bread. I hope you'll go beyond that. It comes with being here at Sunday school, learning all you can. It comes, we have Wednesday morning and Wednesday night Bible study. Avail yourself to at least one of those to learn and to know and to be part of this body trying to truly be about the truth. But it is a spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul states it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. You see, our spirit, because we are spirit, folks, in our schools today, they're teaching our children that we are part of the animal kingdom, that we are no better than a horse or a dog. And folks, we are. We are. We are better than the animals. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. A horse or a dog, as beautiful and wonderful as they could be, are not made in the image of God. How are we made in the image of God? Does God look like this? I hope not. All right? I know he doesn't. But my spirit, every human being has a spirit, and in that we are made in the image of God, because Jesus said it. He said it to the Samaritan woman. He said, she was wondering, hey, where are we going to worship God on this hill? Because they had Jacob's well, the Samaria, and they thought they were it. And then in Jerusalem they had the temple and they thought they were it. And Jesus said, there will come a day where we will not worship God on this hill or in that temple, but we will worship God in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is spirit. Therefore, I make this statement because it is from Scripture. Because we are spiritual, when John talks of testing the spirit, we're talking about testing the spirit that's within a person. We are either in our spirit, we are either, now this might be tough to hear. We are either under the power and control of darkness, which is Satan, God's enemy, or we are under the power and control of light, which is Jesus, the Son of God. There's no other way. A spirit is either under the control of darkness, meaning Satan, or under the control of light, meaning Jesus, the Son of God. Now, that doesn't mean that a person can't go about life, because we do have a will, and do good things in their own power, and even in the power of this world. But they aren't going to be doing things for God, things that will last. Believers can be drawn away from the light, even believers, born again, true, born again, believers can be drawn away from the light that is Jesus, the Son of God, by preachers, teachers, and writers, and personalities out there who tout Christianity but are not. And there have been many led astray. Why? Because they have not been spiritually diligent in their own lives to know and be able to discern and test the spirit of those that are preaching, teaching, and writing. John writes to this, and that's what this is about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 to 22, says, but test all things, hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil. So test all things. Test it. So you got a guy and he's preaching and teaching and even writing great stuff, and it's right along with God's word, and then all of a sudden he starts skewing. Folks, don't stop testing it. Don't stop testing it. We should know God's word. And that way, and honestly, we should be, if we're using men's commentaries, use more than one. So that if there's a skew, you can go, that doesn't sound quite right. Let me check with so-and-so and so-and-so. Are they all in this same thinking? I think that's very important. I think it's very important. It doesn't mean that we can't have trusted preachers, teachers, and writers. Don't get me wrong. We can. And there are many out there who are on target with the Word of God and with Jesus, our Savior. But we should know. This part, test all things, I love this. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. That really goes back to don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right? Don't get rid of the watermelon because it has seeds. That kind of thing. I think that's important. That is important. But we should be able to discern what are the seeds. what is the dirty bathwater. Remember, we're fighting a spiritual battle, and God commands for us to be prepared, each of us. And if we're prepared, we will be able to defeat the false arguments. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. This is not mamby-pamby. For the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments. In other words, we demolish false arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. This is huge. This is huge. We are to be prepared to demolish strongholds, to be able to demolish arguments that come against God. You know, in Corinthians, Paul says that to the gospel of God is a stumbling block for the Jew, and because of man's wisdom, the Gentiles' wisdom, it is foolishness to man. It's foolishness to the Gentile. Well, listen, we who take from God's word, if we are founding our thoughts and our the way we look at the world from God's word, and we look out into what's going on in the world, logically we come up with, what are they doing? How can they go? If you just think, how could they even come up with this stuff, right? And they look at you like you're just an idiot. Because to them, well, this is thinking people think this way. Yeah. Now, I could give all kinds of examples, but I'm hoping you're pulling from some of your own experiences. Just listen to the news. Things that they tout as, woo, this is great. And you go, what? There are a lot of preachers, teachers, and writers out there. Folks, they sound so good. They do. In fact, they're so good, you want to listen to them. They're amazing writers. You want to read them. It makes you feel good to listen to them. It makes you go, yeah, I want that. Whatever it might be. And yet, folks, what they're presenting, what they're writing, lines the very walls of hell. Because Satan is the master deceiver, even being able to deceive sometimes born-again believers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. I'm not here to name names, but you just think back not far and think of some of the best-selling books out there from quote-unquote Christian writers that folks take us away from God, take us away from Jesus Christ. If you don't think so, go find out what these people are saying themselves. When confronted with questions like, is Satan a real entity, a real person, or is he just symbolic of evil? You'll be shocked at some of these mainstream, mainline preachers, teachers, and writers and their responses. You'll be shocked when asked, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Mormonism, so Catholicism, so on and so forth. Do we all worship the same God? You'll be shocked at their answers. And yet there are so many sitting in pews today that are thinking it's great. Sadly, there's many pastors preaching from their stuff. It's happening like a plague. And then we wonder, why does our nation look like it looks? 2 John, verse 7. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Folks, Jesus did come by way of a virgin who conceived by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He was born and was just as much flesh as you and I. He lived a perfect life. He didn't grow into perfection, folks. He started off perfect and he stayed perfect. Sure, he got tired. Because why? He was fully human. And yet, being fully human, he was still perfect in his holiness and did not, Jesus said himself, I may come to it here in a little bit, Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Not just in his life of ministry, but even as a boy. Did he not, at age 12, get lost, or at least his mom and dad thought so, and they finally went back to Jerusalem looking for their son Jesus? They looked all over the city, big city, and where did they find him? They found him in the temple, and he looked at them as though they were just like, what? You didn't realize? Of course, I'm going to be here in my Father's house speaking of the things of my Father. And what was he speaking? He was speaking the known Bible of that day, which was what we call the Old Testament. And the teachers of the law, these are studious men, knowing he came from this little tiny armpit town. How did he get so knowledgeable and learned? Why? Because he's God. And he was God then, in flesh. I want you to understand that there are false teachers out there, folks. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 through 3, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is coming, and he is already in the world now. This is to say, Jesus came in the flesh. And to preach otherwise, folks, is the work of the Antichrist. To preach otherwise is to preach against God's will. The work of the Antichrist, hear me, is the work of the person, Satan himself. And he is the adversary of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 10, verse 30, the Father, Father God, and I are one. He is God. The Apostle Paul admonishes us while establishing Jesus as God, just like John. And he says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. Folks, some of this has to do with experience, spiritual experience. Don't be drawn away because of spiritual experience, yours or someone else's. Verse 9, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Bodily, in the flesh, in Christ. And you have been filled by Him who is the head over every ruler and authority. That is, every spiritual power. You were also circumcised in Him with a circumcision not done with hands by putting off the body of flesh, but in the circumcision of the Messiah, the Son of God. Our heart before Almighty God, upon acceptance of Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, our heart is circumcised before Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul again stresses the importance of spiritual battle and that rages all around us. He says, it talks of Satan being the master deceiver, wanting to distort Jesus' true identity as the Messiah and being God's Son in any way he can. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in their case, in the world's case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When you look in the mirror, folks, you see you. When you look in the mirror, you're seeing you. When we look in the mirror, we actually get to see what other people see. Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus Christ, we see Almighty Creator God. Because Jesus, the Christ, is in the image, exact duplicate image of God. Because why? He's God. He is God. John continues in 1 John chapter 4 with verses 4 and 5. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, these antichrists, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. Why does one particular preacher have over 35,000 people come in on Sunday to his church? Because he's tickling their ears, folks. He's telling them they can have their best life now. Study what that guy talks about, if you know who I'm talking about. Go ahead and study him. Research him. I think you might actually get shocked. And sad. And I would say, as you research him, pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for his soul. It's sad and scary. But folks, it was stated right here at the end of verse 3 that the Antichrist was coming and is now in the world. And anyone who speaks, it's not that they, you'd go, well, what they say isn't bad. Folks, but what they're saying, they're touting to be messengers of God, and what they're saying is not of God. That's the point. The Antichrist is a spiritual entity utilizing anyone he may without the Holy Spirit. But in verse 4, we can know that we have the power to conquer this spiritual entity. We have the power to, what did Paul say? Demolish strongholds and demolish arguments. Because of the one who is in us. The one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not want to be, nor should he be exalted. Because every part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to drive us towards Jesus Christ. When you hear people touting the Holy Spirit power, come upon us, holy things. Now, yes, we want the power of the Holy Spirit, but not over the power of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit grieves at that. He doesn't want us to worship in His name. He wants us to worship in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit wants to point us to Jesus, and that's the one that lives in us. That's the one who, yes, empowers us. Yes, we can pray, not over Jesus, but we can pray, Holy Spirit, empower me today. And I pray that. I say, Holy Spirit, let me speak the words You want me to speak, not the words that I want to speak, but Jesus, to glorify You. I agree with the Holy Spirit that I want to be part of what His work is, to glorify You, Jesus, Lord, Savior, Jesus. But you see, God, if someone preaches that, they might even preach, and in fact, you could hear particular religions say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. I put my trust in the Son of God. You're going to hear that. You'll hear that in Mormonism, folks, but Mormonism is not. It is a false teaching, folks. I have no problem. It is a false teaching, and I can argue it from Scripture. We can argue it from Scripture and demolish that argument. Mormonism is not Christianity. And though you'll hear them say, "Oh, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He's my Savior." They'll say stuff like that. But folks, how about this one? God is three persons and one God. He is the Father. He is the Son. And He is the Holy Spirit. One God. Three persons, one God. That's biblical. But you'll get guys out there and women out there, and they'll teach a trinity of sorts, and it sounds good. And if we don't have our Scripture, if we don't understand our Scripture, we're going to go, man, that sounds good. And they're going to say that God is one. And He is three personalities, but one God. Well, that's a... Hold it, what? Person? No, He is three persons, one God. What are you saying, Pastor Kurt? I'm saying that if all we want to say is God is a person, so in this situation, He's a Father. In this situation, He's a Son. And in this situation, He's a Spirit. That's not a Trinity. Because they are separate persons, folks. The Bible teaches that. Three persons, one God. If they weren't, then we'd have to say God is schizophrenic. When we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." Is he schizophrenic then? He's really one person, he just has three roles. And then he goes in Genesis and he's talking to himself. It's almost, I remember the days of Bob Dole. Bob Dole believes this. And it's Bob Dole talking. Why can't you say I believe in this? But this is even worse, because this would be one person talking plural about himself. I know people like that. They're in mental hospitals. I'm not kidding. That's schizophrenia. Why did he say, "Let us make man in our image"? Because there's God the Father from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, eternal past, present, and eternal future. There was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. But folks, there's one particular preacher that I'm going to have to really study and research a little more, because I found out in my studies this week, he teaches a God with three personalities instead of God in three persons. Whew. And I've heard some stuff he's preached, and man, it was good. Now I have to really question. But that's okay. That's what I'm supposed to do. It's what you're supposed to do. So as we can see from the beginning, God showed himself as a Godhead. Three persons, one God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to this. According to the foreknowledge of God, this is his introduction. According to his foreknowledge, to the foreknowledge of God the Father, set apart by the Spirit for obedience and for sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Folks, the Apostle Peter walked with Jesus and knew Jesus personally, and he knew it would not be any offense to Jesus to be able to say, there is God the Father. There is the Holy Spirit separate from God the Father. There is the Holy Spirit separate from God the Father and the Holy Spirit. There is the Son of the living God, Jesus. And he said that in his greeting. The Apostle Paul said it in his benediction in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Did Paul think God was schizophrenic? No, he understood that God is three persons, one God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus said this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God. Is that right? Is that what he said? Well, if God is one personality or three personalities in one God, why not just say baptizing them in the name of God? He said no. Baptizing them what? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Folks, Jesus himself understood that he was one person of the Holy Trinity. This is a huge point, folks. John, believe it or not, by saying that Jesus came in the flesh, was from and of God coming in the flesh, meaning that, yes, he came fully man, he was perfect to begin with, and there are some out there. Folks, if I name the names, you'd be like, oh, I've heard them. But they believe that Jesus grew up to become perfect. And that his perfection didn't become complete until the baptism of John. Can I be crass? Bull hockey. Jesus was perfect from the beginning. Jesus, then, being in the flesh, one has to understand then that God is Trinity. Three persons, one God. The Bible is inerrant and it's complete. There are some that say, you may have heard them. They say that the Bible is inerrant, but it's not complete. In fact, we still hear from the Spirit with divine revelation. Matthew 5, verse 18, Jesus said, for I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all things are accomplished. Jesus went on to say that you cannot add one jot or tittle to God's word. Well, then some may say, well, hold it. The epistles, the gospels were written after Jesus' ministry. Okay. Yeah, that's right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Peter said this, first of all, you should know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Scripture is from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. Let's say the Old Testament at this point. And so we can be definite on the Old Testament. Well, what? Okay, Pastor, what about the New Testament? All right, well, we'll get there. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, meaning He is God. Therefore, Scripture is from God, but lest you think that God the Father didn't ordain it, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all Scripture is inspired by God, meaning God the Father, and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And yes, it does include the New Testament. It includes the Gospels and the letters by Paul, Peter, John, James, and Jude, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul's either a liar or he knows what he's talking about. It says, "This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the message about God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the message of God, which also works effectively in you believers." I'm going to take you all the way back to 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to look at what John says. It says in verse 6. If I can find verse 6, hold on. "We are from God," meaning he and the other apostles. "Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us." Right there. So they're either liars, or the Holy Spirit and Almighty God inspired them to write these things. Well, folks, they're not liars. They're not liars. Scripture, then, is one that if what is being taught doesn't exalt the 66 books that we have as being complete and inerrant, then they are false teachers. They're false teachers, folks. And finally, the last thing is about a person's love. The preacher, the teacher, the writer, how do they love others? Oh, their books and their preaching and teaching can be all filled with lovey-dovey. It can, but are they living it? Folks, why don't you study a little bit of their lives? Man, with the tabloids today, you can find out all kinds of things out. Things you don't want to know. And you're going to find that some of these mainstream guys and gals, they don't show a life of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. This is from that passage we were just at. "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We know Jesus gave us this command, as recorded in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, 'I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another.'" The Apostle Peter echoes this point as well in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. "Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining." The bottom line is this, folks. All true born-again believers have an obligation. It's commanded right here by the writer John, inspired by Almighty God, commanded that we have an obligation to test the spirit of any presenter, be it a preacher, a teacher, a writer, your pastor. We have a responsibility, an obligation, a command to test. Well, how can we test if we don't know ourselves? Sunday school's great. It'll help. Bible study's great. And your own personal study is invaluable. We need to stay vigilant. We need to ask the question, this person, do they promote Jesus as God coming in the flesh? Do they promote God as three separate persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and one God? Do they promote the Word of God as complete and without error? And do they promote that one should speak out and also live out love for other believers? Here's my challenge for all of us. Just think of the top 3 to 5 people claiming to be Christians that you love to listen to or read. And take a little time this week. If you got the internet, makes it a little easier. But take a little time this week and research them. Check them out. Find out what's being said about them. And take this test against their teaching and their lives. Folks, that's not judgment, because we're commanded to do it. That's called being a wise disciple of Jesus Christ. If you have the position and ability to confront them, then please do so. If they are a false teacher in any way, maybe they're not even purposing in their life to be, okay? And they may listen to someone coming and saying, hey, Scripture says this, but you're saying this. Do you mean to be doing that? Come in love, full of grace, if you're able to. If you're not, you're not in a position to say something to them, at least stop listening. Stop reading. At least do that. Let's pray. Holy God, your word is full of wonderful things for our lives, but there are some hard things. This I believe to be one of those hard things, but Lord, because for decades we've had too many Christians not willing to do the hard thing, we're reaping what we didn't sow. We didn't sow, and so therefore weeds and tares and thorns have come up in our fields that we call our nation. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us as a people. Forgive us as individuals when we haven't stood and we should have. Forgive us for saying, oh, well, I don't want to judge. Lord, that's right. We're not here to judge, but we are here to, with your word, as you tell us in Timothy, to correct, rebuke, instruct, disciple. Lord, there are some that you know are specifically on my mind, and I want to pray for them. These teachers and writers that I'm specifically thinking of personally, I pray for their souls. I pray for their lives. If they are ones who truly are, in their heart, wanting to serve and preach and teach you and teach your word, I pray that you will correct them. Send someone their way. If it be me, so be it. But send someone their way, and may they have a humble spirit and humble heart to be corrected, willing to be corrected. And for ones that aren't, Lord, I pray that you will expose them, at least to the Christian community, expose them for what they truly are. For us in our lives, may we become so powerful and strong in your word, in knowledge of your word, knowledge of our Savior and our Lord, that we truly can demolish strongholds and demolish arguments that do not promote the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. We lift these things up to you because of Jesus and in his name. Amen.